Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now here's a question for my listeners. Did you know that wind turbines kill hundreds and thousands of birds each year? Tell me, can you imagine that CO2 emissions are higher because of wind turbines? Have you ever wanted to know how wind turbines have affected our electricity during this last generation? Now would you like to learn what happens when turbine choices exist in energy today? I think I said turbine. I mean turbine. Excuse me. Now tell me, have you ever heard of a book called Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises? Now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to make informed decisions about your energy needs? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you and welcoming back my co-host, guest sponsor. He is an author and a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful information, inspiration, lessons, and some really, really great advice about our energy concerns. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on 6 networks with over 5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now, my friends, it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you about my co-host today. He has been the managing partner of a mid-sized independent financial advisory firm for 28 years. His interest in the world of shale gas and oil sprang from a question a client asked, isn't this fracking thing dangerous to the earth? He did an interview with us about fracking last month, and now he's going to talk about his new book, which has just released, Broken Wings, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. Welcome back to the show, John Graves. It's so much fun to have you back again.
Thank you so much, January. It's good to be here.
Okay, well, now we have a whole new topic. I'm learning so much from having you on the show. Today's wind turbines kill millions of birds. They require backup power plants. They're harmful or even deadly. There are alternative wind turbine choices. The wealthiest benefit from wind, we pay higher prices. The story is conservation and the environment. Okay, what have you been up to since you were on the show the last time?
We just published a new book, and you gave the title. Thank you so much. I know we're not supposed to be whining on this show, so we're going to avoid whining entirely. But I do want to anger people. I do want people to get upset. So okay. No whining, but a little something.
Okay. Well, let's start off with explaining to me, like I'm like most of my listeners, I'm probably not informed on this topic. What are wind turbines? How do they work? And do they actually work well? Give us a little history, a little overview of wind turbines.
Thank you. Wind turbines have been around for well over 2,000 years in various forms. The Persians came up with them quite a while ago. They were fairly popular. Yes, they were fairly popular in the Midwest in the 1880s and 1890s. But in the 1980s, they came to the forefront, certainly in California and a few other places. You may remember those large beasts that were spinning in Palm Desert. And so that's how most of us think of turbines today, the history of them.
Okay, and I see those every time, you know, we were in California for 42 years, and now we've retired to Arizona. So every time we drive back and forth, we see them. How do they work?
Well, if you've seen them, you see that most of them don't actually work.
Oh, okay.
No matter what the wind blowing, they're just standing there looking grotesque and ugly. The older models fail far more often than they succeeded. Newer models, which are the large, what are called the spindle three-blade turbines, are more efficient. They work much better. And that's what are ubiquitous today. That's what we see across northern Texas, Oklahoma, throughout California, Wyoming, et cetera. How they work is the wind spins them, much like a pinwheel. That spinning rotates a... wires around what's called a permanent magnet, and that acts as the electricity generator. That electricity is sent down wires down the tall tube, the tower of the turbine, and those connect to our electrical power grid and give us electricity. That's the basics.
Well, this is interesting because I'm so happy to have this explanation. They're enormous, and every time we drive by, I kind of look at them and wonder what's going on and how do they work. Now, tell us your opinion. Do they harm the Earth?
Yes.
Yes.
For several reasons. First of all, they're large and they take up a fairly significant footprint. By that, I mean... On the ground, they have a small footing that is their base.
Yeah.
But as much as 5 miles downwind, the air is in turmoil from those spinning blades. And if those blades happen to be near an Air Force base or a commercial airport, then they impact flight patterns for that airport. So that's the first thing.
Okay.
Minor impact.
Okay. Right. Airflow.
Airflow for it. Folks in the Air Force, both here in the U.S. as well as in the U.K., are increasingly concerned about this issue. What else do they do to the Earth? Probably the most egregious sin that they commit is they kill birds and they kill humans.
Oh.
Now, I'll come back to the birds in a moment. They kill humans in this way. That permanent magnet that the blades spin around and use to create electricity is sitting up at the very top of that tower, okay? That permanent magnet is made of what's called neodymium. It's a rare earth. That neodymium, virtually 90% of it comes from Inner Mongolia, from Chinese mines.
Really?
Something like 70% of the people who live in that area who work those mines are suffering from cancer.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
The environmental movement in China, which is aligned with folks like Greenpeace and Sierra Club, et cetera, here in the U.S., the Chinese environmental movement is sickened by this, and they have reported several times about the incredible harm that these mines cause to both their people as well as the desert in which they mine. And there's a huge lake there that is essentially a toxic dump. So that's the most harmful to humans and to the earth.
Now what about do they do to birds, John?
Well, without being too graphic, they are a bird blender.
Oh dear.
if you go to the book, if your listeners go to the book, they will see a variety of birds unfortunately being destroyed by these turbines, everything from tiny bats and hummingbirds all the way up to condors, golden eagles, bald eagles, etc. Birds affected to the sound. Bats are affected by the sound of the blades, and these are punctured when the blade spins by them. Smaller birds and larger birds are attracted to what they see in the blades, or they're looking for something to eat. They come close to the blade, and they are whacked. It's the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, sure. And when you look at these, I can't imagine what they'd do to a bird. I think they would destroy a human, let alone a bird. They would be totally wiped out.
Cut the bird's wing off. It's horrific.
Oh,
beyond
horrific. Yeah. Now, so how has this impacted us as a nation? I don't think a lot of people are aware of this. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's the real problem. That's essentially why I wrote the book, to make people aware that the underlying idea behind wind turbines is to create an alternative form of energy, of power, so that we can reduce our carbon dioxide emissions. And yet that is exactly the opposite of what happens when a turbine is built and run. Not only do people die in China, not only are birds killed across the nation around the world in the millions, but when these turbines run, they run so intermittently. They only run when the wind blows.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And if the wind doesn't blow strongly, then they have to have backup power generation. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, as we drove by 2 weeks ago, it was an interesting phenomenon because we usually, when we drive by them, you see them all spinning. That particular day, it was unbelievable because there were hundreds, maybe thousands. Only one was spinning. The rest were just standing as still as could be. Does that happen often?
Unfortunately, it does.
Yeah.
And that's the real electrical engineering problem that these present. Not only do they increase carbon dioxide emissions because they have to have power plants running all the time to back them up, but they don't run very frequently. And when they do run, they're not run very efficiently. They don't take out very much of the energy that's available from the wind and convert it into electricity. So they fail on virtually every count.
Oh, wow. This is fascinating. What kind of a response have you gotten to your book, John, so far? I know it just came out.
Yeah, it's been out 2 weeks. We've had good sales on Amazon. It's an e-book format right now. I will come out with a print edition in a couple of weeks. Response has been very good. It's 2 days ago, it was number 4 in environmental business.
Oh, wow. I would say, dear, that's very, very good. And also, what's very, very good are our wonderful sponsors. We're going to hear from them now. When we come back with John Graves, we're going to talk about climate change and how do turbines help or hurt climate change. We'll be right back.
Rachel Carson wrote, "Spring now comes unheralded by the return of the birds. And the early mornings are strangely silent, where once they were filled with birdsong. Little did she know the movement she began would lead to the destruction she envisaged." Announcing the release of John Graves' new book, Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. Today's wind turbines kill millions of birds, require backup power plants, are harmful or deadly to humans, have enormous costs. There are alternative wind turbine choices. The wealthiest benefit from wind. We pay higher prices. The story is conservation, the environment. Every decade had its musical phenomenon. The 1960s had Motown, The Supremes, The Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, The Four Tops, The exciting new book, Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans by Tom Ingracia, presents 140 never-before-published photographs taken by fans from around the world that tell the story of the people, places, and things that made Motown the music that inspired a generation. Relive the memories of a time when we were all dancing in the streets and the music of Motown reigns supreme. Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans, is available from Amazon.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Wine Zone today. And today I'm visiting with a co-host who is not a whiner. Actually, he's more of an activist. He's the author of Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. Now, let's talk a little bit, John Graves, about climate change. What are your thoughts about that?
Climate change is based upon the idea that increasing carbon dioxide emissions from our industrialized world is warming the planet. And whether or not that's true is subject to debate. Mm-hmm. There are many who feel that it's absolutely without question true, and there are others of us who feel that it is very questionable and it's not based on scientific data. Irrespective of my opinion on that, however, the book on birds and wind turbines assumes that carbon dioxide emissions should be reduced. If they are going to be reduced, January, then wind turbines are probably the worst way to do so.
Okay, explain that to me.
Well, as we said a little while ago, wind turbines need backup generation. What that means is that, as you saw driving down the road, you saw several turbines were not working.
Many.
When they all work, virtually all of them. Right?
Yeah.
When they all work in perfect unison with the wind, and the wind is blowing at about 25 knots, and the turbines are staying perfectly in unison, they will generate between 20 and 25% of the energy that's available from the wind, convert that into electrical power. That's the best of all possible worlds.
Okay.
If the wind is blowing at 3 or 4 or 8 or 10 knots, they're not going to convert 10% of the energy available. If the wind is blowing more than 30, 26 knots, then they shut them down because they would break.
Okay.
So they work in a very small window of wind. So that's a limiting factor. But when when they're working perfectly under ideal circumstances, just spinning like pinwheels, they're providing about 20% of what they are designed to do. Okay. All the rest of the time, they have to have a coal or natural gas-powered or nuclear-powered power plant running behind them because the energy that they pour off from the turbines is what's called intermittent. It doesn't work all of the time, and it doesn't work at the same level all of them. Without getting into the technicalities of it, the electrical grid across the U.S. demands continuity of power. It can't fluctuate by 5 or 10 or 20 or 30%. It certainly can't fluctuate by 80%.
Sure.
biggest problem that turbines present is their intermittency. They deliver electricity into the grid, into the power system, at irregular and intermittent power levels. Therefore, the grid has to have the constant all the time, so it must always have backup power generation. So every new turbine that's built, every new turbine farm that's constructed, must have, hidden across the hill and on the other side of the bend, it must have a power generation plant that uses coal or natural gas or nuclear power to create this electricity. Therefore, you're creating more and more carbon dioxide from those gas-generated, coal-generated power plants than you would have if you didn't put up the wind turbines. It's just silly.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And now my next question is, who owns these turbines? Who's responsible
for
them?
Very wealthy people.
Oh.
Not you and I.
You know.
I think the phrase that is most common is millionaires and billionaires. We all know who said that.
Wow.
Millionaires and billionaires are the ones who can afford to invest in this. They're also the ones who have the political connections, the regulatory connections that allow them to put a wind turbine in place, a wind turbine farm in place.
Uh-huh.
And they're the one that reap the very significant tax credits to themselves for the construction of these turbines.
Wow. It's like they've gotten a chance to grab the brass ring, haven't they?
Thank you. Well said, January. And you and I can't get on the merry-go-round, much less grab the ring.
Yeah. Okay, this is interesting, and there's probably a process they go through. It's probably an old boys club, perhaps, and it's probably very exclusive to be included in being able to make this kind of investment, isn't it?
You pay to play.
I like that. Very, very well put, John. Now, let's talk about health hazards. First of all, health hazards to humans. We've already talked a little bit about birds. What about humans? What kind of a hazard is this to my grandchildren?
Well, in the West, turbines are well-spaced. They are not near, significantly close to homes or to ranches or to cities or villages. In the UK, in Germany, in Spain, if you live in a farmhouse outside of Bremerhaven in Germany, less than a kilometer away, less than half a mile away, you may have two or three turbines spinning, and you're literally in your backyard.
Oh, my gosh.
So the first problem is it's there. You know, they're big and they're ugly. More importantly, they make what's called a thrumming sound. When they spin, it's and that goes on 24/7 as long as they're spinning. They make that sound. Now, most of us don't. It doesn't bother us. It may be a little disquieting, but it's not a health hazard. But there are a significant minority of people who actually suffer health hazards from that. They may have a heart arrhythmia. They may develop migraine headaches that will never go away.
Mm-hmm.
They may become irritable, unfit for being with their spouses or their children.
Sure.
Because that noise just boils their oil, to say it, speak.
Okay,
but
now I've already asked you about who gets to own these in the USA, and it's wealthy people, millionaire, billionaires. Now, is it the same functioning old boys club in Europe? Are these the same people who own these turbines in Europe, the billionaires?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. No surprise.
No surprises. It is far more of an internal network of who knows who than you could ever imagine in the petroleum industry or the shipping industry or the technology industry. Because not only is it people who can afford to build these things, but it's people who have political power that allows the regulators to impose these turbines upon the population. We don't need to have turbines. Regulators insist that we have them, again, because of the CO2 question. So if you're on that side of the equation, if you're afraid of the globe melting under intense heat, and you happen to be of the political persuasion and have the money, you're in an ideal seat to take advantage of the fears and the prejudices promulgated by those people. So you make money from fear.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've certainly have heard that equation, and we've heard that conversation so much during this year about environment and the climate change and all the different things that we're dealing with. You know, we've also when we come back, I want to talk about, you say there are hazards to birds, and you also mentioned bats, and I'm curious about that topic. And I'm also curious to hear from our sponsors. We're going to hear from them. And when we come back, John is going to share information on his website and also how you can get his book. We'll be right back with John Graves.
Come explore with Clyde McCauley the world of the Little Cuties Let's Pretend books with your little one. Imagine the funny, mixed-up emotions of an onion that cries when it's happy. And delight in the giant ears that make a little elephant special. Meet the engaging characters who will inspire imagination and build curiosity in your little cutie. This is where the love of learning is born. So discover the world of Little Cuties Let's Pretend today. The first two Little Cuties Let's Pretend titles are at Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. January Jones presents Drs. Ed Feiereisen and Bob Ruotolo, co-founders of Motive Creations, as sponsors. For those seeking more empowerment and control over their happiness and well-being, you have come to the right spot. MC365 provides the necessary tools and techniques to make your life even more spectacular. Today is the perfect day to start your journey to become happier and healthier. Our mission is to help you achieve yours. Seeking to reduce stress? Start now. Want a better relationship? Start now. Increase your self-esteem? Start now. Do you want more passion in life? Start now. Enroll at www.JanuaryJones.com. That's JanuaryJones.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. Also, Priceless Personalities is now available at audiblebooks.com. Today, I have a priceless co-host visiting with me, John Graves, and he is the author of Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. John, before we go on with this wonderful interview, could you share a little bit about your website and how people can get your book?
Thank you. The website is called BirdsandBlades.com. BirdsandBlades.com. And on that, I discuss the book, and I try to write something at least once or twice a week on the issue of turbines, design, safety for birds, human health issues, the politics of wind, and the other resources that are available for people who express an interest in the subject or who are, frankly, angered about this and want to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
BirdsandBlades.com.
Okay. And this is an interesting interview. I'm learning so much. Today's wind turbines kill millions of birds. I didn't know that. They require backup power plants. I certainly didn't know that. They are harmful and can be deadly. They have repercussions for humans and animals, and they have enormous, enormous costs. Let's talk, before we took our break, we had birds and bats. What do they do to bats?
Pretty horrific, as much if not more so than what they do to birds. Birds, they get whacked because the blade will hit their wing or their head and decapitate them.
Uh-huh.
With bats, they fly in groups, typically several thousand together, and the bats will either try to land on the turbine or they will try to use the uplift draft that each blade creates to lift itself, to ride up like a hang glider might use to ride up into the night sky.
Okay.
As they get closer to those blades, again, it's a technical matter, but the pressure differential between the leading edge of the blade and the following edge of the blade is so great because these blades are spinning at 160, 170 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
That pressure is so great that it literally explodes the bat. Yeah. Sorry. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to whine here. I'm trying to be angry, not whining. But it's a pretty horrific feeling.
Yeah. Well, I think you're making a very valid point here. Where are these built in the United States besides in billionaires' backyards?
Well, let's tie that into your previous question about bats. In Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, the vast wheat, soybean, corn heartland of America, bats are the number one insect control device that every farmer has. Bats consume three times their own weight every month.
Okay.
They eat bugs. They eat the bugs that will be eating, hurting the wheat, the corn, the soybeans, the rye, et cetera. We are currently killing in excess of 1 million bats a year, particularly in those areas. And that, along with a particular disease that is spreading throughout the bat species around the world, is decimating bats. So the disease itself is responsible for about 25% reduction in bat population, and the turbines are responsible for another 20% reduction in bat populations. This is going to be a continuing problem in terms of destroying bats because, as you may know, the administration wants to quadruple the number of wind turbines in the U.S. by 2030.
Wow.
According to quadruple the number of turbines, you're going to quadruple the number of kills.
Mm-hmm. And bats are essential to keep a balance in our environment in this country and probably throughout the world, right?
Well said. That's exactly right. And turbines interrupt that balance.
Okay, so now let's get to where are they built? Where do they manufacture these things?
Vestas is headquartered in Denmark, and most of their production, they and Siemens in Germany, are the primary manufacturers. They will do the blade production in the Midwest. Nebraska is a popular factory. They also do the production in India. And they do the production in Germany and the UK and in Spain. The blades, by the way, are longer than a football field.
Oh, my gosh.
Weighs dozens of tons each. They're massive, massive beasts. And back to your environmental question, the blades are made from hydrocarbons. They're made from crude oil.
Oh.
When you put a blade up there, you're using hydrocarbons to try to control carbon dioxide. So the blades are made around the world in various places. One of the unfortunate aspects of the design of these is that because they're so huge, they are subject to stress. The designers, they're brilliant engineers, to their credit, they've done an extraordinary job of building these blades. But the blades fail. They fail far more regularly and far more frequently than we are led to believe. There are a few sites on the website of blades suddenly flying off of the turbine and suddenly catching fire and burning to the ground. It's, again, mm-hmm. it's horrific. Mm-hmm. It's a gigantic machine with lots of moving parts, and they don't always work as planned.
Right. Now, let's talk about turbine design. What choices exist in energy today? How does this play out? What's the overview?
Thank you. Well done, yes. So we all know, we've all seen this gigantic Franken tower, I call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah.
Tall tube that's 400 or 500 feet tall with blades that are 300 feet long, and it moves through the air at 160, 170 miles an hour.
Oh, wow.
For whatever reasons, the governments of the world have decided that that is the best, the only, and the most appropriate choice for wind turbine design.
Uh-huh.
Later in another show, we can talk about that. But in fact, there are, in my book, there are more than 24 other designs that are uh-huh. far less costly, far lower environmental impact, if any, that don't kill birds, that don't make humans sick, and they convert far more of the latent energy available in the wind into electrical energy so that the electrical grid can be more appropriately, more consistently powered by these newer turbines.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
So what's, if there are other options, what's the problem? Why aren't they going in that direction?
You pay to play, my dear. You pay to play.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There is a group called AWEA, and the American Wind Energy Association, in conjunction with the International Wind Energy Association and the European versions and the Canadian versions. They all sing the same tune. They are the lobbying group for the industry.
Uh-huh.
They also represent the regulators. In the U.S., the regulators are the EPA and the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And from my perspective as a journalist, there appears to be a significant and deepening degree of collusion between regulators, politicians, mm-hmm. the industry, and the taxing authorities. They all seem to be helping themselves with their hands in our back pockets.
Okay. Now, wow. I'm going to have to take a break, and I'm going to get to hear from my wonderful sponsors. And while we're waiting to come back, I'm going to contemplate what kind of a reaction they have had to your book. And I'm going to hope that you will be back with me, that there won't be a hitman at your front door before we do... before we do our commercial. we'll be right back with John Graves if he's here.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Executives, managers, entrepreneurs, and professionals. A people strategy and change consultant, award-winning author, emotional intelligence practitioner, and trainer, Yvette Bethel, can provide you with strategies you can use to empower yourself, grow your people, build your culture, and transform your results. For insights and strategies you can use to develop yourself to build a high-performing team, you can subscribe to Yvette Bethel's weekly podcast, Evolve, Mastery for Leaders of the New World. And sign up for her newsletter at YvetteBethel.com. That's YvetteBethel.com. YvetteBethel.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast Success Stories with January Jones and my co-host today, John Graves. John, he has brought up the topic that the wind industry dominates the press. It does not care for those who disagree with its green image. There are over 1,000 books published daily in the U.S., and John had 3,000 books for his first book, and then he sold 11,000-plus books for his other book on fracking. His personal message is you need to make informed decisions about your energy needs. You need to read and inform yourself rather than just repeat what others tell you. This is such a big thing that most people aren't aware of this topic. So you've gotten a good reaction to your book, John?
I've had a good positive reaction. I have yet to hear negative reaction, but I'm sure that knock on the door will be coming soon.
Okay. What about the energy crisis? And we hear so much about that, especially during these elections. What are your thoughts on that?
I haven't seen any energy crisis, have you?
Well, I certainly hear about it.
Yes, they all complain about it. They all make noise about it. But I don't know, $1.71 for a gallon of gas is pretty darn cheap in my book.
Yeah, right. Now, let's talk a little bit before we close up this fascinating show. What about endangered species? How can it be that they're disappearing?
Good question. Thank you so much. I'm sure we all know that the condor in California has been under protection for decades.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, in fact, the fellow to whom I devoted this book, Jesse Grantham, was in charge of that condor salvation program, if you will, at the U.S. Forestry and Wildlife Service. I'm really tired. They were able to bring the 22 birds left in North America up to a population of over 400 today, I believe the numbers are.
Wow.
That's a wonderful story of an endangered species brought back with the help and support of both the government and people who are concerned. Now, that same government today in California has given wind turbine operators the right to kill at least one condor every year.
Oh, my God.
Every time you kill a condor, you also kill the baby that's in the nest. And you probably kill the spouse that's trying to feed the baby itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
You kill one, you kill two, maybe three. That is just wrong.
No.
The other endangered species are the golden eagles, which have been decimated in California.
Yeah.
There are less than 500 breeding pairs left. The bald eagle,
uh-huh.
It's not endangered anymore, but it is. The picture of the bald eagles being whacked by wind turbines are by the hundreds on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
In the Midwest, finally, the whooping crane, of which there are less than 300 breeding pairs, in Nebraska, the same thing as in California with the condor. They are allowed to kill 1 to 5 whooping cranes each year with turbines.
Wow.
That's just not right, January. That's just wrong. Mm-hmm.
Now, who keeps track of how many they're killing? Is there an agency that's looking out for endangered species? How can they keep a handle on this situation?
Thank you. That's a great question. There is an agency, the FWS, Fish and Wildlife Service, and they have a depository for birds, for endangered species. That depository receives more than 4,000 dead birds each year, raptors, endangered birds, from turbine operators.
Uh-huh.
And yet, there is no harm, no foul, there are no fines, there is no retribution, there is no penalties, there is no criminal justice. they simply put the dead birds and their bodies into the freezer. There's more than 31,000 birds in that depository in the freezer right now.
Oh, my gosh. So
I'm
sorry, really...
I just don't understand why they're doing this.
They really can keep track of this, can't they?
They really can. Yeah. Now, the turbine operators are not obligated to do anything with regards to keeping track of what's called the kill. In fact, they're encouraged not to keep track of the kills by the Department of Justice and the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not right in that world.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Does that make sense to you? Am I whining about something?
No, you're not whining.
Okay.
No, you're actually sharing something that people need to know about. They need to hear about it. We just have 2 minutes. Just quickly and briefly, what can citizens do to stop this killing of these wonderful animals?
Join the ABC, the American Bird Conservation Group. Go out and keep track of birds. It's real fun. It's easy. You meet interesting people, number one. Number two, as you learn from the book and from the website, there are a series of steps that you can take between from writing to your congressman or writing to your local representatives to involving people of like mind to protest against this to engaging the EPA with lawsuits from your local state and county governments. There are something like 2,300 anti-wind turbine sites around the world.
Wow.
So you're not alone if you protest this. There are many, many folks who are far angrier than I am about the dead birds, the chicken humans, the poor electricity, and the lousy designs.
This is, I'm just so pleased to have you as a co-host, and I want to share with our listeners that John will be back on March 15th with us on the show, and we will talk more about this wonderful book that he's written. Also, be sure, if you're interested in this topic, which I hope you are, go to brokenwing.com, and the book is called Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. John, this is just wonderful having you co-host with us, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again next month and sharing valuable information with our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with John Graves. I know I have learned so much, and I've learned enough that I hope these are things we can share with other people. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like John. This is the show where you hear information that will help you to become successful too, and will help you make decisions about energy in your life. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. Sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and then share our show with everyone you know. If that doesn't work, start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Thank you to my co-host today, John Graves. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sarantos.
This is Sarantos, and you're listening to January Jones.
We accept the love we think we deserve. In my life I've made so.
Sarantos. I hope you enjoy January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.